Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, I thought, what about bears? Hilarious line from the great Patrick McManus, the short story, The Night the Bear Ate Goomba. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of December 2nd and 3rd. Now, besides 6 Day Firearm, which opens Monday again, a happy new year. The 6 Day Segment B Black Bear Season opens up in New Jersey. The kill in Segment A was 331, looking to hopefully make that and surpass that this coming week. If the percentages isn't met, there's going to be the extension the following week. Joining us in our next segment to talk about Jersey Bruins, Dave Golden, DEP's Assistant Commissioner, Fish and Wildlife. Also, we have Tom Foti coming in, weighing in on the Striper meeting, which is going to be this coming Tuesday, December 5th, 6 to 8, at the Stafford Municipal Building in Manahawkin. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, really jammed show. Be right back.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, we're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of December 2nd and 3rd. Now, again, in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio, when the season opens in D-Cause for a New Year's celebration. And yes, on Monday through next Saturday, Buck Week, probably the most popular. You know, all the bow hunters, whatever, we all do that. A lot of bow hunters, but probably ingrained in Jersey in the history of deer hunting, deer wildlife management, the just burgeoning deer population over the decades and the great deer hunting that we have. It is the most popular. Those are the Shotgun Week, Buck Week. Also, it is Segment B of the Black Bear Season. Yes, it was reinstated. And I'll tell you, during the opening Segment A was archery first few days, and then I had the muzzleloader in there. 331 Bruins were taken. Now you have five zones spread out over, it looks like, eight counties. Now, this is strictly muzzleloader and shotgun, and we are looking at some big, big Bruins up there. I've been casing some areas out through Sussex and Warren County, Morris. Again, very fortunate to be able to do some traveling and look. And there are some, these Bruins, I used to live in Maine, people. These Bruins rival Maine bears, and they rival the Coastal Carolina black bears. Tom P., your crew. No, I've seen bears 500, 600. I think one of our, in fact, I think Jersey holds the world record when it comes to archery for black bears. Anyway, people, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. on Talk Radio WPG 95.5 FM. By the way, South Jersey's number one rated talk show station. And WPG 1450 AM. We're streaming live in that slot, WPG1450.com. And from 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked into 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin radio message on 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk Radio app to get to the Rack and Fin radio podcast, usually embedded below my blog there on 97.3 FM also. And it's on Spotify and Applefy, and like I said, Signify. I don't know all these fives, but the word is out there. Join us on a lot right now. We're going to talk black bears for this segment. Essentially, I'm more into the management end of things and the percentages, the tag percentage. If it's 20% is not reached, it'll extend the extension of Segment B. If 30% is reached, they'll stop the hunt. Great population of bears, very healthy, and when it's going to be a grit barring. I tell you, this super cold weather, you wonder, are they going to go to den early? I don't know, but we've hunted in colder and seen plenty of bears. Anyway, join us on the line is Dave Golden, Assistant Commissioner, New Jersey DEP's Fish and Wildlife. Very, very great guest on Rack and Fin Radio when we can get him. Dave Golden, how are you, man?
I'm great, Tom P. How are you?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock. It is brewing time, man. I know, Buck Week, everything here. We're going to be doing a couple of drives with some clubs. Thank you very much. The invites on that, people. But, Dave, it's bear season. And the first segment, successful. 331 Bruins taken. Now, listeners, there's more parameters to work within. Go to Fish and Wildlife Digest on there. The black bear section explains the minimum weights, et cetera, ad infinitum, and the limits. No matter how many permits you have, one bear per segment. Dave, expecting, again, barring a sudden single teen a cold snap roaring in, a successful season coming up?
Absolutely. We're hoping for a real successful segment here. We've got good permit sales, and I think people are excited that the black bear hunt's been reinstituted in its full capacity, both segments. So we're hoping for a good turnout this week.
Well, Dave, again, to the percentages, listen, so it's sort of an involved thing, but again, the biologists with Fish and Wildlife are second to none in the country. Trust me, I get to travel. I know a lot. They're all great. Don't even, Jersey people are on this big time. With no black bear population, I say in the world where they are, has ever been studied and analyzed as much as New Jersey's black bear population. By the way, saw a notice about look out for some bears there in a state forest in south central New Jersey, a.k.a. Bass River. Ha-ha, Dave. So they're pretty much, they've been spotted in all 21 counties, correct?
That's correct, yeah. We have documented sightings in all 21 counties, but certainly in the zones that are hunted, we have the highest population and the highest density of black bears.
Okay, you're talking, listen, Sussex, Warren, Passaic, Morris, Bergen, Hunterdon, and Somerset, and Mercer. Tom P., why are you talking about black bears? South Jersey, I said, because I run into more than a dozen, as a fewer than 50, but plenty of hunters up there in those north counties from Cumberland, from Salem, from Ocean, from even northern Cape May County. Tuckahoe! How you doing, guys? So, Dave, it appeals to hunters statewide.
Yeah, statewide and even nationwide.
Oh, nationwide, yeah.
And you're right. We have large bears, and I think that's one of the draws. Large bears and lots of them, and you know that's one of the draws, and that's one of the reasons it's important for us to have, you know, an integrated approach to managing the population. Mm-hmm. And the hunting season, the regulated hunting season, is really our only method for actually controlling the population numbers. So that's why it's so important for people to participate if they're able.
Dave, this past summer, we get to travel. We're in the Poconos, we're in New York, we're all throughout Jersey. We've counted, me and a lovely Dee Marie, no less than probably five or six road kills as far south as Somerset County. I mean, big bears, right on 78, 513. So there's bears around, and even though the numbers have been pruned by 331, we need a continued harvest sustained for the next few years, at least keeping the numbers in check. And how do you answer that? They're trying to wipe out the population. I don't get that.
Well, that's not true. That's, you know, we're trying to maintain a healthy, robust population and one that is compatible with the high density of people that we have in the state and high density of roads. Your listeners know that. They probably know that New Jersey has the highest density of roads in the country. So, you know, there's a lot of management involved here when you have a large species like black bear and you're concerned about negative bear-human interactions in a highly highly populated state and also in a state with a lot of roads. So we have protections in place that ensure that we don't wipe out the population. And, mm-hmm. you know, you had alluded to in the intro our harvest rate, and we do closely monitor this population of black bears, New Jersey's population of black bears. And one of the things that we're able to do with that close monitoring is determine the harvest rate throughout the season. So if the harvest rate were to reach a particular level, we have it in our regulations that we can immediately stop the bear hunt. And that's how we ensure that we don't over-harvest this population.
Yeah, listen, let me read it out to you here. If the cumulative harvest rate reaches 30% of bears tagged in 2023, the season will be closed. In the event of a season closure, notification will be on the Fish and Wildlife website and and the email list as well. And the season closure, if announced, will become effective 24 hours from the daily legal closing time of the day which the decision is made. Now, if the harvest rate does not reach 20%, the hunt will be extended to Wednesday, December 13th through Saturday, December 16th. So, again, Dave, you have a bit of a safety valve in there. Now, this tagging takes place when? I mean, the biologist, shout out to, I'll just use his initial, MM, the M&M man. They're out there in the field. Does this take place during the winter period?
Well, we really mark throughout the year. So we do some winter den work, and right. there'll be tagging done then. We do spring trapping. We do fall trapping. So anytime we're handling a bear, even when we're responding to nuisance bears and mm-hmm. we end up capturing a bear, we'll tag that bear. And then throughout all those seasons, we keep track of the number of bears that have been tagged. And then that serves as one of the numbers that factors into harvest rate. So the harvest rate is really the percentage of tag bears versus untag bears that come into the check station, and that helps us understand how many bears we're taking out of the population.
Dave, Dave, on the overall, in the study area, estimated within reason, population of Jersey black bears?
Yeah, well, our estimate, last year, our estimate, we weren't able to calculate an estimate because we didn't have a full season of a hunt. Mm-hmm. This year, we're still in the middle of the hunt, so we don't have a new estimate for this year. But when the last time we had a full hunt, we calculated it, the estimation was around 3,200 bears in the study area. So that's not statewide. That's just right in the area that's huntable, because our marking and our check stations, that's kind of the recapture side of the mark recapture study, mm-hmm, or estimator. That's only happening within the huntable area. So just those counties that you mentioned before, that are the portions of those that are hunted, that's where that population estimate has its significance.
Okay, join us on the Rack and Fin radio line this morning is Dave Golden, Assistant Commissioner, Jersey DEP's Fish and Wildlife, doing a great job as always. Well, Dave, listen, don't forget, you have the mandatory check station if you do harvest a bear. Okay, now here's the dealio. You have a check station, Pequest Wildlife Management Area, 605 Pequest Road in Oxford. That's up there in Warren County. The Black River, that was only open during segment A. You have the Green Pond Golf Course, 714 Green Pond Road, Route 513 in Rockaway. I always get messed up there, Dave, because I want to stop and fish for trout and smallies in the Rockaway River. You know my proclivities. In Sussex County, Flatbrook Wildlife Management Area is going to be open only the opening day and Saturday during segment B. So the opening Monday and the final day Saturday. And also the Whittingham Wildlife Management Area, the hotspot, 148 Frieden Springdale Road in Newton. Well, Dave, I'm looking forward to our legal black bear encounters, but hopefully some bear stew on the horizon. It's just, we love it. We just love that bear meat, Dave. And listen, we have a healthy population. Permits are still available. Dave, only $2 for the permit, correct?
That's correct.
Just remember, listeners, it's not like a deer. A bear's down, believe me. Even if it's a small one, there's nothing really to grab on a bear like a deer. You know, get the leg, get the antlers. It's a group effort. And be sure to get that animal eviscerated and get it skinned as quickly as possible. You don't want any meat spoilage. Once you taste bear meat, man, it'll make your tongue slap your brains out. Sorry, Dave. Again, you know my proclivities when it comes to sitting down at the table. Well, Dave, thanks much for joining us. Listen, it's going to be a great bear season. It's going to open Monday and extend through next Saturday. Coincides with the buck week and all down hunting antlers down here in the southern tier counties, central tier counties. Enjoy, get out there, and be safe. Dave Golden, always great having you as a guest on Rack and Fin Radio. You take care, man. Hey, whoa, Golden, but I know you are a maniacal pheasant quail hunter. I'm gonna run into one of these fields with you one of these days. I like to hunt with you, Dave. That'll be a lot of fun.
Can't wait to see you out there.
I miss a lot, so we know that. I'm good at bringing the coffee and the donuts. We'll see you, Dave. Take care.
Sounds great. Thanks, Tom. Take care.
Dave Golden, great guy. Doing a super job fishing wildlife. Now, I don't know how they do it. We haven't had a license. Not that I'm a proponent of increases. Believe me. Trust me. But trust me on that. You know, I created copper wire. I stretch a penny so far. But it's been a good 20 years, I believe, since any kind of any license increase, any stamp increase, whatever. Something's got to give, because Fish and Wildlife, they can definitely use more personnel. Doing a great job, an incredible job for what they have right now personnel-wise. Yeah, in the Northeast. For our size, we have the best bear hunting going. We have great deer hunting, super waterfowl hunting, weather permitting, especially here in a coastal zone. Man, that's tough. You get those 50-degree days in January. Man, that sucks, man. The broadbills and bluebills are out there having pina coladas out there on the bay. Okay, up against a break. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Yogi! Here we come.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Pro.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of December 2nd and 3rd. What about the striper fishing, man? It shows no signs of a big grin. We had some winds and bumpy conditions out there a couple days, knocked it down. But I've spoken to so many guys, tackle shops up and down, have not seen. I said, even better than last year? Even better than last year. Party boat captains, charter captains. Surf guys are doing, okay, I'm talking primarily from the boats. Even some guys here on the jetties are nailing bass. But it seems to be the majority of the bite right off the beach, a half mile off the beach, while closer out to the three-mile demarcation E-zone. It is mayhem. 41 fish, 36 fish. Now they're starting to hit the umbrella rigs. You know, with the sand eels everywhere. Gannets diving out. There's bunker, herring, everything is going on. And yet they're talking about monkeying with even more restrictions. Don't forget, December 5th, this week, December 5th, it's going to be Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Stafford Township Municipal Building, 260 East Bay Avenue in Manahawk. And as you're coming in, it's going to be on your left-hand side. There's going to be the New Jersey in-person striped bass hearing. Be there. Be there. This is critical because, again, more. Why? Why more? Why? It's just they're it seems that it's never ending on this research. I know, Tom P., you have to look to the future. Well, back on Rack and Fin after only a couple of week accident is our main vein to the recreational saltwater fishing scene. It's Tom Foti, legislative chairman of the Jersey State Federation of Sports and Clubs and the New Jersey Coast Anglers Association, many hats. Tom, I'm exhausted. Tom, I'm just like beat up here. You know, there's the five options, whatever. It seems like mayhem. Tom, the people I spoke to a person, Foti, to a person, has never seen striped bass fishing like this. Even better than last year. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, they're catching the fish, and they're basically, New Jersey's having a hot run of bass. We've had it for the last 3 years. And remember, we had it a couple of years ago when all the Atlantic herring showed up in December.
Right, yeah.
It was
I remember that, yeah.
Okay. Now, let's look at what's changed over the last couple of years. We haven't done any beach replenishment. We haven't screwed up all the water on the beach by washing in, and the Menhaden and everything comes inshore. We've had sand eels back again some. So it basically creates the environment perfect for bass to come in, and when it's perfect for bass to come in, they come in New Jersey. They always have. And the same thing with Raritan Bay. But when we do beach replenishment and everything else, it affects what we're doing that year for the next two, 3 or 4 or 5 years. I remember we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about 4 years to recuperate or 5 years. And this is after this five-year period that we have, you know, haven't been doing the drastic beach replenishment we were doing 8-10 years ago into about 5 years ago. So that helped. And the water's warm. I mean, and the water stays warm off New Jersey, mm-hmm. and it's unbelievable. So what the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission is listening to the catch and release fishermen that says they want to be able to go out and catch 45 bass, all big and everything else, and we don't have a big enough spawning stock biomass. That's not necessarily true. I mean, we produced the highest young of the year with this size spawning stock biomass. And, I think we talked about this. Bob Beal at the MAFAC meeting a couple of weeks ago, he basically said they asked him the question because, and I didn't ask him. I'm a MAFAC member, and I didn't ask him.
Right.
I let somebody else ask. He says, well, basically, why are we doing this? Is it going to make a difference? And recruitment. And he goes, well, no, because it's really the environmental issues that's doing this. I mean, and that's the bottom line here. We're causing pain. And we're going to see the same thing in 2 weeks. We'll talk about it next week on summer flounder, black seas.
Yeah, vital, 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 Tom. Hold on. Lock Tom Foti in. Tom, that's the lifeline, the lifeblood, rather. Tackle shops, fluke, sea bass, striper, scup. Go. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, so Jersey Coast had a meeting Tuesday night, and they voted on the proposals, and they prefer option B1 on 3.1.2. They voted to support 3.1.3, and that's the preferred option. We want to keep the for higher boats and the recreational sector all the same size limit for everybody.
Right.
And the recreational flail, that's what we have in New Jersey, so we support it. We've always had that option on flailing fish. And the commercial reduction, quota reduction, we support that too. They got to suffer the same if we're going to suffer needlessly, but they have to suffer needlessly too. And and they basically voted the way I wanted them to vote, is not give the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission the knee-jerk reaction, which they can act immediately without going to public hearings and do an addendum or an amendment. They have to do an addendum or amendment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get bad information, and a knee-jerk reaction from the sky is falling people tells them, you got to shut the fishery down now. And all of a sudden they're doing that because we had a good catch last year. And we had a bad catch. We didn't see any fish next year, so they must be in trouble. We can't win. I mean, it totally upsets me that and so my statement next week will talk about the facts. So what are we doing? These regulations have not improved recruitment. Same way they haven't done it in the summer flounder, yeah. They haven't recruited. And the stock assessment says we don't need to do this to basically get a good recruitment. It's the size of the stock is fine. It's the other conditions, and we don't basically do that.
And Tom, look, what they're talking about, what I'm hearing, whispers here and there about the possible reductions for recreational fluke next year. Oh, man.
Yeah, 20%.
That's just like, it hit me right in the heart. Okay, listen, don't forget, this Tuesday, December 5th, 6 to 8 p.m., the Atlantic Striped Bass Board draft addendum public hearing, okay? It's going to be at the Stafford Township Municipal Building, 260 East Bay Avenue in Manahawkin. Tom, I'm sure it's going to be packed. I hope, though. Sometimes you think critical issues like that, you go to these meetings and there's 10, 12 people there. Other times the room, you can't even move. You can't get a seat, standing room only. So I'm just worried about the apathy, Tom. Some guys I'm speaking with, some gals too, saying, what, I'm just going to try something else. One guy even stopped fishing. I don't want to mention the species. Too many GD regulation, giving up doing something else. And I'm wondering if you're seeing that at all.
Yeah, I mean, the party boats and charter boats are all suffering. My angler friends don't go. You know, you spend a lot of money just to go fishing, and you basically, waive some of it. Some people weigh it about the catching fish to take home to feed their families. And when they can't do that, or they get upset to the fact that they got to keep catching and releasing, they know they're causing harm to the stock, and they never get a fish to take to home either. They said, I'm not into this, to just to catch and release fish and kill them. I mean, so there's all kinds of factors going on here that we basically, have not basically paid any attention to. And the commissioner, they haven't done an economic study. They have no idea what this economic impact of these regulations have been for the last 4 years, how much it hurts the fishing industry. And they're supposed to do that. The Mid-Atlantic Council is supposed to do it. They, we've been asking for the economic study for 30 years. They says, well, we don't have the information, so we can't do the study. Well, they don't seem to have the right information about how many people are fishing either. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just question themselves on the data from last year, and yet they're using that to basically give us a reduction in the fisheries. I mean, it just, as somebody said to me the other night at Jersey Coast, he says, they've been lying to us for 35 years. They keep telling us, if we cut back now, we'll see the benefits. And that happened in the 80s because that's what we got sold. Because basically, the stocks were in trouble. Between wholesaling on Montauk and North Carolina, killing all the big females, dragging them onto the beach, wholesaling. There was a lot of things going on. And plus, we have problems in the Chesapeake Bay even back then. So we did the thing. We bit the bullet. We basically suffered for years. Now, remember, New Jersey raised its size limit starting at 18 inches all the way up to 36 inches. We raised 2 inches every year to protect the year class we wanted to protect until 95% of the females spawned.
And it worked. Yep. Okay, Tom. Well, Tommy, listen, we have to close out this segment in a few minutes, but just then we're going to have Tom Foti on next week. We're going to be talking sea bass, porgy scup, a.k.a. so I'll call them porgies, and summer flounder. But, Tom, the future, striped bass, I mean, not the Chicken Little thing here and there, but all the decades, Foti, that you put into this, most importantly, making striped bass a game fish. Where do you see the future of stripers here in Jersey? Say, what's the bellwether? The next 5 years, what do you think?
Unless we change what we do, I don't see anything positive in the next 5 years. We're fighting a battle against warmer waters, pollution in Chesapeake Bay. Now, even though we strictly focus on Chesapeake Bay, so we don't take into consideration how much the Delaware Bay is now contributing the Delaware stocks or the Hudson River stock mm-hmm. are basically contributing to the coastal migratory stocks. We have 4 to 40%. We also need to cut back Maryland for basically taking the whole 25% of their quota on the coastal migratory stocks. They're not getting 25. They're not contributing that much anymore, not compared to what they used to do. And that should be reduced because the stocks, they're not spending that much time in Chesapeake Bay. That's 25% of the ocean fish we gave to Chesapeake Bay because the fish spent some time in there spawning. Well, they don't stay in there because the water's too hot and there's nothing to feed them on, so they get out of there as soon as they can. They maybe spawn and go. So we should look at these producing areas. We need to establish Hudson River, and we need to look at new producing areas if they're actually contributing to the overall stocks. I mean, we need to change the way we basically manage this striped bass, summer flounder, and the whole species because it's not working.
It's not working.
When have we increased a quota on any of these species? Have we gone back to the 14 inches on summer flounder? Have we gone back now to the 28 inches on striped bass? Do I see us going back to any of those things? I don't see it coming. Not the way we've been managing and not the way the fish are basically behaving. And some of it's out of our control.
Right,
as anglers, we can't control the pollution that's going on. We can't control, as you know, the chemicals that are forcing the fish to have sex problems. We can't control a lot of the things that are causing the problems. So the only thing that happens is we basically kill the recreational and the commercial fishermen for things they don't cause. And NIFS doesn't know how to address that. We did what Atlantic States used to do that. They managed by common sense. And common sense has went out the window. We basically took figure with computers and modeling and the people that used to be directors of marine fisheries, for the most part, were the guys that basically went on the commercial boats out there, went on the recreational boats, did all the research, the hands-on research. Now who are directors are people that came up through the modeling because, everything's computers. They don't get out. They don't use common sense. They says, well, this is what the program says. And, I took computer program back in the 70s, and they were smart enough to know that. Data, garbage in produces
garbage out.
I mean, we're there. We know that MRFs is garbage. Yep. It has been garbage because we don't spend the money necessary to do that. We need to get our congressional, federal legislators to start behaving in a right way. There's two things they can do. They can fund all the research that necessary. Look what they did in the Gulf. When they funded the research in the Gulf, they found that red snapper was all over the place.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
And underestimated stocks.
I remember talking to guys down in Alabama and Texas. What do you mean there's no red snapper?
And because NIFS is so locked into what they do, they're now challenging all those numbers they got from all the science and Gulf. They're saying, well, they're not really there. Maybe they're not important. And this and that. They've done this for 40 years. Tom, I've been doing this a long time. I got involved with striped bass in the 70s. When I lived in New York, actually, for Save Our Stripers, when we were trying to make it a game fish in New York, which I worked a lot of hours and a lot of days, even when I moved to New Jersey to try to get it done in New York also. But it's over 45, 50 years doing this, and, we're in worse shape now. And also what they succeeded in doing is dividing the community, the recreational community. The catch and release guys,
divide and
the
conquer,
guys that took fish. And that's what they're trying to do with the party boats.
Well, Tommy, listen. We're up against a break. Hold those thoughts for next week. Fody will be a guest next week. We'll continue this. Listen, don't forget this Tuesday, December 5th, 6 to 8 p.m. Atlantic Striped Bass Board Draft Addendum 2. It's a public hearing at the Stafford Township Municipal Building, 260 East Bay Avenue in Manahawkin. We'll see you there. We will see you there, Tom. You're gonna get a chance to be there.
Yeah, I'm going to be there, and also go to the Jersey Coast webpage. My reports are on there. All the options done by Jersey Coast are on there. So basically, you have a lot of information. Look at the last 2 months of the Jersey Coast newspaper. Yeah. You go there.
Fair enough.
As you know, Tom, I wrote a lot of stuff about striped bass in the last couple of months in the newsletter.
Okay,
well, thanks again for the hard work you
did. Well, listen, I appreciate it. Fody, don't be deer hunting next week. Don't forget. You're going to be on record. Don't forget.
Okay.
Talk to you later, man.
Thursday or Friday so I get the day straight.
I do. Bye. See you later, man.
I go to. Bye.
Oh, way long on that segment, too. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio. Don't forget, this Tuesday, December 5th, 6 to 8 p.m., Stafford Township Municipal Building. Care about stripers? Be there.
We want to see your Christmas lights. WPG, Talk Radio 95.5, and Atlantic City Electric bring you Light Up South Jersey. You can win $500 thanks to your wonderful South Jersey light display. So take some pictures of your lights and send them to us on the WPG Talk Radio app. Light Up South Jersey is brought to you by Atlantic City Electric. Proud to partner with local nonprofits creating a stronger, more connected community. It's another way they're delivering more than energy. Learn more at AtlanticCityElectric.com/power of community.
Fox News, I'm Chris DeMeo. Tributes pouring in for former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who died Friday at the age of 93. Democratic Congressman Greg Stanton calling her Arizona's greatest stateswoman.
Justice O'Connor spent her life breaking down barriers in pursuit of a more just society. She blazed every trail she set foot on.
O'Connor suffered for years with dementia. George Santos is sent packing from Congress.
Only the sixth House member expelled and the first Republican ever booted. Santos said he'd go in peace and leave, quote, graciously. But the exit was pure pandemonium.
That's Fox's Chad Pergram. A judge lets the election interference case against former President Trump move forward, rejecting claims of presidential immunity. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City Electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey today. We'll have some fog to start. Otherwise, it's cloudy and mild with a high 64. Periods of rain tonight, we're going down to 49. Occasional rain and drizzle tomorrow, the high 59. We'll see some sunshine on Monday with clouds mixing in. Monday's high 54. Plan with confidence. Visit AccuWeather.com. I'm AccuWeather's Rose Tamburino on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
So here we go. It is the Christmas month. Tis the season, man. Now we have the deer and bear season over here. Assistant Commissioner Golden was on earlier in the show talking about the bears. Let's talk about the deer stuff. That is going to be happening. Buck week, the dry, a lot of, these deer meetings they had. It's the forums, rather. Pretty contentious at points. We'll get into that a little later on into the new year. But everyone be out there and be safe. Enjoy the season. And it's just tradition, especially as I move down to South Jersey. It's still in the fabric down here, big time. North Jersey, still, yeah, but down here, the clubs, the drives, it's a whole different culture. It's pretty enjoyable, pretty interesting, to say the least. But again, tis the season, Christmas time. Hey, there is a toy drive going on. I just noticed I'm in a couple of tackle shops. Again, I get to travel the state, a couple of tackle shops in other areas. I'm seeing the toy bins, and I'm seeing the sign, New Jersey State Conservation Police, and some of the bins had the Marines on. I guess there's it's a co-op deal here. Everyone's working together on that. How cool is this? A toy drive put on by the COs, up and down the state, across the state in the field, as a conservation, COs, game wardens in old-time parlance. And I found it really interesting in that, wow, COs, and it's been going on for a few years. I have a guest waiting patiently on the line, be right with you, but you know me, I'm a yapper. I'm Italian, we're both there, you know what I'm saying? And I said, wow, CEOs are involved. This is pretty interesting. Been going on for a couple of years. Want to get more into it because the CEOs, all the interaction, really 90% of the time, except the Federation meetings here and there, it's in the field. And, you know, the one guy said, I'll never forget this. It was in, where was it? It was in down by Sicklerville somewhere. Talking to a guy, we're fishing Oak Pond or something. He says, yeah, those CEOs, they ain't human. They got no heart. They're just you know, like machines. I said, well, I know some COs over the many years, and I found this to be some pretty interesting and cool people. We have one on the line right now. Met him, oh, wow, back in, I believe it was 2011, Pacon Lake. Me and the lovely Dee Marie, opening day of trout season. We're bailing some trout on spinners here at Pacon Lake. Here, hi, how's it going? Turn around. Big, young, strapping guy right there. I said, hey, mind if I see your life? I said, hell no, man. Are you new on the scene? And met him. He is now Lieutenant Andrew Riviello. He is out of the Central District. He is involved in this Toys for Tots drive by the New Jersey State Conservation Police. Really interesting fellow. And it's just a great give back community effort by the COs. Lieutenant Riviello, sorry, I get very verbose, but you've known me like that over the years. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Oh, lock, cocked, and ready to rock. Man, if I was any happier, I'd still be dancing with Whitney Houston, but that's another story. So, Lieutenant Riviello, get into it. It's been now, you told me, Tom P., it's been 3 years. What was the genesis of this, getting the COs involved in, of all things, a toy drive, Toys for Tots, which has been, from what I understand, wildly successful. Go!
Yes, it has. Hey, we just wanted to give back to the community. We just wanted to do some community outreach, and what better to do this time of year and give back to families in need. It's a beautiful thing.
I know, but this time of year, Lieutenant Riviello, you have the deer season coming on, permit boat, you know, it's everything is happening November and December.
Oh, yeah.
It's a crazy time, but you're making time to do this. How do you get involved? How do people get involved? It's just, is there a list where there are bins to drop off? Listen, it's unwrapped toys. There must be unwrapped toys. How do people find out more about this?
All right, so right now, we only have one spot to drop off, and we're working on expanding that next year. But right now, it's going to be at, everyone knows the Assapink, which is Upper Freehold.
Right.
It's our wildlife management area. We have our central regional office located right in the middle of that. Right there, we have some toy boxes ready to drop off anytime, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4. And also, if you're looking to do a cash donation, we just ask that you make a check payable to the Marine Toys for Tots Foundation.
Hold on. Whoa, we're at Toys for Tots Foundation. Good dealio. Here's the thing, man. I get into Walmart, for example, or wherever, and I get into the toy department. I'm lost, man. I'm just playing with everything in the aisle. I'm like that movie, the Tom Hanks movie.
Right.
So, Foundation. So, Andrew, here's the thing. I saw a bin at Creekside Outfitters. I ran into a gentleman, Scott McGaze, with the New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. He is involved with dropping off some of the bins. So, listeners, there are other bins around besides at the Central Region office, and I guess he picks them up and drops the stuff there?
Yes. Some other people have been doing that for us, but it's the ones that we're in charge of at our office. But yes, but yeah, they dropped off a huge donation. They filled up a lot of boxes for us. It was great.
Okay, joining us on the line is Lieutenant Andrew Riviello, Central District. Topic is New Jersey State Conservation Police, the Toys for Tots drive that's going on. Andrew, how long can people donate?
The last day is going to be the Friday of Buck Week, so it's going to be December 8th at our office.
Yo, Lieutenant, that's cutting it kind of close, isn't it? Oh, hey.
Yes, it is.
But now, listen, if knowing McGahee like I do, the guy's he's an automaton. I mean, he doesn't stop. Will you be accepting gifts after that? Say he comes up with a couple of, you know, big bags or bins? What's the dealio?
We've worked that out in the past, so I just ask that you try to contact our office or just reach, you know, get ahead. Let us give us a heads up that they're coming, but we'll make it work. Certainly we'll take late donations.
Oh, absolutely wonderful. Lieutenant Andrew Riviello, this is, it was a pleasure meeting. And then over the years, I'd meet, and then he was just CO. Now he's lieutenant. Wow. I'm very proud of you, Andrew, coming up through the ranks. This is great. But we see him at Stafford Forge during pheasant season, running deer season. Andrew, it's really interesting, for lack of a better term, there was never a dull moment, especially in the Central and Southern Region office, correct?
Absolutely, no doubt at all.
Okay, Andrew, if people want to get more involved with the short time listeners, you have about a week going on. How do they get involved? Where do they call? What's the deal?
You can call our Central Region office. You can call our law enforcement number if you want more information. The number is 609-259-2120.
Excellent. Now, off topic here, Lieutenant Riviello, I hope everything's okay with the process. Did you get out turkey hunting last year?
I've got two little kids at home. I used to turkey hunt all the time. Those days are now on pause, but I plan to get back out there.
Well, congratulations. I like the way you put it, Lieutenant, on pause. You're the man, you're the one, you're the guy. Again, great job. Be safe out there in the field. Listeners, the New Jersey State Conservation Police Toys for Tots, fun drive. You can also make out a check. If you want to donate unwrapped toys, you can bring them to the Central Region office there at Assapink. It's off the Imlaystown Road exit, I believe. Or you can go try Creekside Outfitters. Put a call into New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. One of the guys, Scott McGee, shout out again to Big Scotty. He's out there. There's bins in several places. Be a part of it. There's a lot of people a lot less fortunate than all of us. So, you know, reach deep. Got to do it. Lieutenant, hope to see you in the field on a good side one of these days.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care, brother.
Yep. Take care.
I'll never forget. What a great guy. Vernon, we sat and talked and for about 5-6 minutes, and he says, pardon me, I'm going back to catch some more trout. And I just, again, because I used to work with Fish and Wildlife way back when, knew again some of the young COs coming up. By then, I was out of my late 40s. So it was great to see, and there's a great crop out there. Just, again, a toy, a little, again, something different. Besides the hunting of it, something different. A toy drive. New Jersey State Conservation Police, Toys for Tots, fun drive. Yeah, man, being involved in a Toys for Tots drive while you have Buckwheat and further north, Bear, I tell you, the CEOs, they are omnipresent. It's clairvoyance or what, but yeah, CEOs, listen, they're not our adversaries. We're paying them to protect the fish and wildlife. Okay, so just do it. But again, try to get involved with that toy drive. Yeah, I make fun. I go to the war. I get in a toy aisle. I said, man, I remember G.I. Joe, but what the heck are these things? So, but you can make a cash donation as well. Again, the New Jersey State Conservation Police, Toys for Tots drive. He said it's going to end December 8th, but they will make arrangements. Call the Central Region office there. And they'll if you have a late donation, I'm sure they'll help you to take care of it. Again, there are a lot of people out there less fortunate than, what's the term? There but for the grace of God, go we, you know? That's what I'm saying. So give a little. I know I don't have the time to shop and all that stuff. So a check is going to be out in the mail. Speaking of Buck Week, it's, you know, the bow season, very successful. They had some good hunting going on, some really, really thick cover. Reading more and more about it. I had a guest on a couple of years ago when it started, the blood trackers. They call it the blood trackers, United Blood Trackers. But getting, you get deer, man, you get hardly any blood at all, or hardly not, sometimes none. You get a clear. And you're getting these deer back in these thick swamps and stuff, thick woods, just god-awful cover. Here's a great aid in recovering, possibly recovering, you know, great chance of recovering that whitetail. Hate to lose a deer. I think I've lost one deer, maybe two, and it's an absolutely horrible feeling. But it's more than that. It's being a part. You don't want to waste a resource. And you can tell people, a shotgun, you know, muzzleloader, a slug, man, they'll go down. Not all the time. Let me relate something. A few years ago, hunting out DMZ 46. I'll just do with that. DMZ 46. Had the permanent doe comes in. Wham. Nice shot. And I sent a load of one buck or single old buck. Boom, boom. And flipped over. Got up and ran. I said, it was about a 25-yard shot. I said, how the hell did that happen? You know, the high bush blueberry wasn't. I was a clear head coming right through. But here she comes. Boom. Call the landowner. I tried to look for it. Call the landowner. Thank God he happened to know there was a white cedar swamp down there. He happened to circle around and came up. And we found it maybe probably 25 yards, 30 yards from where the initial hit was. It had expired. It was in one of these god-awful thickets. You know, the yellow thorns with the black tips that you get, like you've been in a meat grinder, shredded out. Now, if he hadn't been there, we're looking back and forth. Not even a drop of blood. How this thing took this load and didn't bleed, but eventually expired when we, you know, gutted it. You saw everything, you know, coming out. But here's a case where, boy, if I had the opportunity to use a tracking dog, this was it. Joining us on the line right now is a special guest, first time on Rack and Fin. He is a tracker. He and his big-ass bloodhound Roscoe, buddy bloodhound Roscoe. It is Jimmy Miranda. Now, on the list of, again, they call it blood trackers. We're going to clear that up in the initial segment here. It's not, you know, blood trackers per se. It's a lot of other stuff involved. But he is number 4 on the list of 18 that are in New Jersey. Have 18 registered, certified. So you can go to unitedbloodtrackers.org. You find it. It says find a tracker. Click that link. Then click on, you put the state of New Jersey and just NJ or zip code, and the whole list will come up. But Jimmy Miranda is joining us on Rack and Fin. Jimmy, how you doing? You're going to have hopefully not that busy a week ahead of you, but you've been busy during the bow season. How's it going, little brother?
Hey, very good. Very good. Good morning, Tom.
Before we get going, how's Roscoe?
Oh, man, I tell you what, Roscoe is, he's down right now. He's down sleeping. He's getting his energy up. We got a track later on this morning. We're going to head back out and try to reunite another hunter with their deer.
That's what I like about bloodhounds. They're like me. We're alike. We like to sleep. Sleep and eat,
yeah,
and then
yeah,
we have to work.
Good.
We have to work. Well, and let me ask you this. What made you decide to get into the tracking game?
I tell you what, a couple years ago, I just started to try to find different avenues in hunting. Real big into, I'm a huge outdoorsman, love hunting. But I got into a trophy deer kind of stage in my life. And unfortunately, I don't see the trophy deer every year. You know, that's part of the circumstances behind it. And I wanted to continue to be in the outdoors. So I kind of started to put everything together. I spoke with a buddy of mine, Pat Lynn, out of Dead End Deer Tracking. And, man, I watched him work. And I tell you what, everything clicked from that moment forth. I knew that this is something that I wanted to pursue.
Now, Jimmy, I've seen some tracking dogs. I've seen Dachshunds. I've seen Australian Blue Heelers. They call them Australian cattle dogs, but they're Blue Heelers. And I used to be in the horse biz, so that's what I, and there's a variety of breeds that can do this, and some, you know, mutts, curs, or whatever. And you picked up Bloodhound Roscoe. How did you train him?
Oh boy! Well, I you know what? This was you know, I wouldn't go no other way now. Looking back, you know, this he's not only a tracking dog, he's my family member. You know, but with Roscoe particularly, I wanted something that I felt was unique. I know that, you know, bloodhounds have a cold scent nose, just that we can kind of go a little longer. We can wait a little longer than most other dogs can do. And, just to be truthful with you, you know, I'm not a fan of the smaller dogs. I mean, that's just the truthfulness. Now, at the end of this season, I'm going to remeasure my right arm because I do believe it's going to be a little longer than my left arm. but you know, Roscoe, I couldn't ask for a better companion. I couldn't ask for a better dog. And, you know, the effort that he puts forth on a daily basis, I would have never believed today where we would be standing in, you know, just in the realm of some of the names of these other tracking dogs.
Yes, joining us online is Jimmy Miranda, Pine Barrens Deer Tracking, a young gun on the scene, helped a mutual acquaintance recover a nice buck fairly recently in this past bow season. Well, Jim, let's clear it up right now. Blood tracking, is that kind of a misnomer?
Oh, what a misconception. Absolutely, sir.
Explain that, please.
All right. Well, the truth of the matter is, when I don't get calls when hunters have blood on the ground. Let's call it what it is. I get the phone calls when the blood trail seems to come to an end, or they never had one to begin with. So Roscoe, he's an AK certified bloodhound, and he's been training since he was 6 weeks old.
Wow,
a month and a half old. Yes, yes, sir. So we started him off on hides. We started him from there. We moved to blood trails. From there, we moved to interdigital glands. That's in between the hoofs on the hoof of the deer. And what that does, there's a gland that secretes a particular scent when that deer is wounded. And when it's fatally wounded, a lot of people don't know that gland does not stop leaking. And that's how we're able to differentiate which particular deer was shot.
Wow.
At that current time. You could have 5, 6, 10 deer, and it won't matter. Once we lock onto that, we're in business, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen.
That is interesting as all get out. You know, because you always see blood. Well, the times again, like the Dosh, there was no blood. Now, Jim, let me ask you this. I know we didn't discuss this off the air the other night when I called you to invite you on, but you know, the keyboard. I just can't this Facebook. All this. These keyboard warriors, and I read it on occasion when, oh, man, be learning to track a deer, be a real hunter. You need to depend on a dog. You ain't a woodsman. You ain't this. You ain't that. Blah, blah. North Central Nostalgia, you read them all over the place. How do you answer that? I mean, to me, the thing is not to lose that animal. Now, you could have a fatal hit, but not to lose that animal. And sometimes, like I said, there's just no blood to follow, or very little, or something. How do you answer that when the people, these ignoramuses just come up and, you ain't a real hunter if you need to use a dog.
Well, you know what? I was
Have you faced that? Or heard that?
I have a couple of times, and I've heard it, and I've seen the other side of these comments quite a few times. You know, I was taught at a young age, everybody has an opinion. You know, listen, everybody can say what they want, and it is what it is. As an outdoorsman, though, I'd like to think that, number one, we as hunters, you know, we stick together. So I'm going to give you everything that I can to look for this animal. But I also want to be realistic with a lot of people. They you know, better shot placement, better this, better. The truth of the matter is mistakes happen. Accidents happen. Movement happens. Distances get mistaken. And it's not always going to be a perfect shot. And I don't believe that should hinder you from harvesting your animal. From making a simple call to any one of us to make a call to any of the trackers and to just, you know, is it at all possible? Because I do believe that I speak for all of us that we would love to bend over backwards and to help anybody that's in need of tracking. And I surely know if I'm pulling the trigger or pulling back on the bow, I have full intention on harvesting and giving it 100% to find that animal.
Well said. This is Jimmy Miranda, UnitedBloodTrackers.org. Find the tracker link and click on find the close. Go to New Jersey. Put your zip code in and go to New Jersey. And he will show up on a list of 18 Pine Barrens deer tracking. Jimmy, give that phone number, please.
Oh, yes, sir. The telephone number is area code 609-864-4528. And we are running 24/7 all the way till February, I guess, end of deer season. I tell everybody, there's no deer too big or too small. Roscoe will track them all, and that's we stand by that.
Okay, listen, Jess, we're way long on this segment. Sorry, producer Chris Coleman. One last thing, Jim. People want to know: is there a fee for this? Is there a donation? What's the dealio?
Yes, sir. We go off of the donation. You know, but there's no cost required. That's not a requirement. We do ask, though. We try to, if you reach out to me personally and you're in upstate New Jersey, just, you know, bear with my analogy here, and I would do my best to put you in contact with somebody that's closer versus me driving 2 hours there, looking for 2 hours and all of that nature.
Fair enough.
No, sir.
Okay, this is one more time. Pine Barrens Deer Tracking and Recovery, 609-864-4528. Jimmy, have a good season, man. We'll see you pretty soon in the woods one of these days.
Hey, absolutely, Tom, and it was a pleasure talking with you this morning.
Take care, brother. Oh, and best to Roscoe. Hey, give him a milk bone for me.
Oh, you definitely know it.
See you later.
All right, bye-bye.
The size of him, more like a deer antler, or elk antler. Okay, I'm way long on that segment. Up against the break. Be right back. Yeah. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Pro.